Well, it is an honor to be here tonight. It's always, you know, I was glad when they said unto me, come into the house of the Lord. That's one of my scriptures that resonates within me, because there's always been a joy for me, for the Lord and the Word. And where else would you rather be than in His presence, wherever He has for you to be? The great thing about it is His presence isn't just here, it's wherever you go, because you are the temple of the living God. You know, when He began to His earthly ministry, He went around to His disciples and He said two words that transformed their lives, two words that radically changed who they were, two words that caused them to leave family, two words that caused them to leave their job, two words that are so easy to say, but so hard to walk out, in the sense that none of us could say, follow me the way that Jesus did. He walked up to Peter and Simon when they were fishing in the boat, or Andrew and Peter. Simon and Peter are the same person. And so He walked up to, He said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Matthew 4:19. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately, astounded when I read these scriptures, they got out of the boat. And what did they do? They followed Jesus. Now, I don't know to what extent they understood at that moment, but something caused them to see something in Jesus that said, hey, I'm going after Him. I'm going to follow Him. He told me. I mean, can you imagine, you're at your job, you're working, and some guy you don't know walks up to you and says, follow me. And you walk out of the building. I mean, come on now. There was something there of the Holy Spirit initiating in their heart, in their life, said, that man's worth following. Now, most of the educated people wouldn't have been out fishing. I mean, you know, the fishermen were not educated. That's what they said about the disciples. They said, well, they aren't even educated, but they've been with Jesus. See, He didn't go into the synagogue and talk to the chief priests. He went to the fishermen and He said, follow me. Now, you may think, well, they were low of the low. They didn't have much to lose, but, I mean, they had their father there, I believe, if we look at Scripture. I mean, they had their livelihood there. Peter was married. We know that from Scripture. And these guys just left everything and followed Jesus. The radical call of Jesus is still just as radical today as it was then. And He's saying, follow me. The radical call of Jesus on His disciples' lives is so radical that they allowed it to change everything about them. And today He's still saying to people that are lost, that are dying, that are hurting, that are in the world, follow me. And people are still responding, follow me. He's saying to people in Islam, follow me, and people are following Him. That follow me has a draw to it that, if accepted, is a challenge in and of itself. But it radically changes your life. I mean, they begin to follow Him. They begin to eat with Him. They came to places where they didn't know what they were going to eat. Feeding of the 5,000. They saw miracle on miracle after miracle. But they still had to make a decision to follow Him. They didn't know what the future held. They didn't know what it was holding. When He came to Matthew, the tax collector, He said, follow me. Matthew, here's, you know, you would think he's kind of a pretty well-off guy. He left it all and followed Jesus. Because there was something in the call to follow Him that they recognized that they needed in their life. There's something in the call of Jesus when He says, follow me, that you respond with, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I don't know about you, but I was raised in church all of my life. Heard the gospel over and over and over and over again. And there came a place where I felt the tug of Christ upon my heart. I felt the Holy Spirit woo me. And I walked down an aisle and I stood there and gave my life to Christ. I still remember the man that was standing there that day. I still remember the prayer that he prayed with me. I still remember that moment as if it were yesterday. Now that man didn't know, other than somebody who's given their life to Christ, he didn't know who I was to be or who I was to become or what, that I was going to be a pastor or a preacher. He had no idea that there was anything different, but God did. In your life, when God calls you to do something, you say, yes, it's going to radically bring blessing in your life that you cannot understand, comprehend, and it's going to take you places that sometimes you don't want to be, but you follow Him. He put the disciples in situations where they didn't have a clue what to do other than follow Jesus. Follow His instructions. Follow what He says. Listen to what He says. Try to understand what He says. Because He's speaking a foreign language. He's speaking the same language. But when He speaks and when He teaches, He's speaking on a level that's like, I didn't get what He said. Did you get what He said? He said this, but what does that mean? I don't understand it. Do you understand it? What in the world? And later He'd go take them aside and He would explain to them some of the things He said. But even in Jesus explaining it on the side, they still didn't get it. There was still a disconnect because they had a preconceived idea of what Christ was supposed to be like and what He really came to do. They kept waiting for the moment of the culmination of all the stories they'd been told and all the things that they had been said about the Christ. He's going to redeem Israel. He's going to put away the Roman rule. All these things that had been taught by man, read in the Scripture, thought they understood, but they didn't. Instant obedience. Instant obedience to the call. The call to follow Jesus is the greatest call you'll ever receive. Now, you and I know He has individual purposes and plans for our life. He had one for Peter. He had one for John. He had one for Paul. But greater than your individual calling, which we so often get wrapped up in, is the call to follow Jesus. Because out of that, to fulfill who you're supposed to be and to know who you are in Christ, you have to follow Christ. Now, we physically don't have Jesus standing in front of us and Him walking and us following in His footsteps literally like they did then. But there's still a lot of parallel in the way that we follow Christ. They ate with Him. You know, one of the reasons we say, thank you, Father, for this food is we're acknowledging that He gave it to us. We're acknowledging that He is the sustainer of all life. So they broke bread with Him. I'm going to ask you tonight, have you heard the call? Follow me. Have you heard Jesus saying, follow me? Have you responded with a yes in your heart? The amazing thing about this call is He didn't say, hey, I want you to go and get your life straight, then follow me. Not once. Not once. He said, follow me. Because He knew in the following of them, there was a decision being made in their heart that would radically transition and transform them. Because if they would listen and follow Jesus the way He was inviting them to follow Him, that there would be a radical change in who they are. And He took 12 men, one of them being a devil, and 11 of those men radically changed the world. Because they answered the call, follow me. Have you heard the call? Have you answered the call? Have you said, yes, all that I am, Jesus? And I want to tell you, when I walked down that aisle, I made that commitment at 7 years of age. All that I was, at that moment, I was committing. I didn't know what that looked like. I had no idea where Jesus would take me following Him. And there's portions of the path in there we'll talk about a little bit that they weren't always smooth. They weren't always easy. And I did not always say yes. But the disciples walked with Him. They talked with Him. They lived life with Jesus. We have to live life with Jesus. How do we do that? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This Word is God's Word. And that Word is living and breathing and sharper than any two-edged sword, rightly dividing. So we're going to talk about how you approach this living, breathing, holy Scripture as if it is the living Jesus tonight. Because this is what He said, follow Me. We often follow Him in the beginning for the wrong reasons. Did the disciples not, in some point, think that Jesus was going to do exactly what they had been told their whole life to do? Listen, I grew up a little Baptist boy. I had a lot of preconceived ideas of what Jesus was. I'd been taught a lot of things, and a lot of things were good. It was biblical. It was sound, but there was an interpretive part of it that somewhere in there the Holy Spirit got lost. But He found me. So we come to Jesus just as we are. Just like we are. Just as I am. Because we can't clean ourselves. You know, when Jesus says, be like a little child, in a lot of ways, I think He means that you can't clean up your own mess. And a lot of other things that we'll talk about tonight, you may see through that lens. It'll give you some insight. I won't touch on that a lot more tonight. But come to Jesus as a little child. They trust Him. They're trusting. Mary said in the beginning, whatever Jesus says, do, do it. She didn't know how He was going to turn the water into wine. She just knew He was going to do it. In your life, no matter what storm you're facing, no matter what challenge you're facing, no matter where you're at, will you trust Him? Because I don't know how He's going to get you out of it, but He will. He'll walk you through it in the midst of it. No matter how bleak it looks, no matter how bad the storm is, no matter how many times the enemy whispers in your ear, don't believe him. He's a liar, a thief. He comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. Now, let me give you some insight here. This is a piece of equipment, right? The devil don't care about that piece of equipment. He didn't come to kill and to steal inanimate objects. What did He come to kill? What did He come to steal? You. And you know what He's always wanted to do? Is interfere, destroy, deceive you from having a pure, unadulterated relationship with Jesus Christ. From the beginning, that's what He wanted to distort. That's what He wanted to kill. That's what He wants to steal. That's what He wants to destroy. Is your communion with a loving God. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 27. Jesus says, and He says to them, if anyone wishes to come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow Me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for My sake, he is the one who will save it. What is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses and forfeits his soul? For whomever is ashamed of Me, My words, the Son of Man, will be ashamed of him when He comes in His glory, the glory of the Father and the holy angels. So Jesus says you got to take up your cross. Now, when you came to the cross and you gave your life to Christ, you answered the call, you took up your cross. But that's not the only time. How many times does Luke say in this passage to take up your cross? Come on, you all read it. How many times? It's daily. Daily. Daily dying to self. Daily saying yes to Christ. I don't know, sometimes for me, I think it's more than daily. I think that sometimes I have to say no to flesh and yes to self. No to flesh and yes to self. Get thee behind me, Satan. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I know there's stories in your life when there's times where God has challenged you or God has called you to do something like the disciples. He said, go. Do this. Do that. And you thought, well, that ain't God. I probably told you this story, but I'm going to tell you again. There was a time in my life where I was across the street from a bar doing some woodworking. And God challenged me to go in there. And I said, God, I'm a Baptist boy. I don't go into bars. That is not God. It's not God. I mean, I'm in this Baptist town at this Baptist Bible college to serve you, and you want me to go into a bar on Main Street, and somebody's going to drive by, and somebody's going to get me kicked out of school. What in the world are you? And I wrestled with this thing for about an hour and a half until I got off. I got off, and I said, God, if you want me to go in there, I walked across, put my key in my car, and I looked over at this across the street, and there was nobody there. I said, all right, God, I'm going to go. So I walked across the street. I walked in, and there was one guy sitting at the bar talking to the bartender, which was a lady, and he went to the bathroom right away as soon as I got in there and said, hey, I want to tell you what God told me to tell you. God told me. I've been wrestling with this for an hour and a half, but I believe God sent me here today to give you a word from him. I'm a Baptist boy. I didn't know that was wrong. I didn't know you was getting a word of knowledge. I didn't know what was happening, but I knew I was hearing God. And the lady said, the Lord understands why I'm here. He understands. I said, you know, God also understands. He'd give you a new job. You know, he can give you another job that provides for you better than this one if you'll just say yes to him. I said, can I pray with you? I prayed with her. I walked out. A week later, the bar shut down. I don't know what happened to the lady. I don't know where she went, but God gave her another job, I'm sure. You know, I'm sure somewhere in the midst of that stuck in her head. I hope so. But Jesus said some hard things. As I read them, I'm driven to my knees. If not outwardly, inwardly. And I said, God, this is impossible. He said, eat my flesh. They left him. And Jesus said to the disciples, will you leave too? And they said, where will we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. Where will we go, Lord? Where will we go? Until we come to that place to say, there's nowhere else. There's no one else. You're the only one. You're the way, the truth, and the life. And to leave you means to step into death and out of life. There are areas in our lives that we're struggling with because we haven't yet released them. We're still holding on to them. And I said, I'm coming, Jesus. And the Lord said, let go. Amazing thing about the walk with Christ is you and I make it way more difficult to understand than it really is. He said, follow me. That's so simple. It's so simple. What keeps us from following after him? That's the Holy Spirit to deal with in your life. So as I shared with you, at 7 years old, I gave my life to Christ. I've been in church all my life. My mother was faithful. My father was not. So I'd say, well, why do I have to go to church if my father doesn't have to go to church or my dad don't have to go? She said, because I said so. And she drug those two boys to church whether we wanted to go Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Any activity that was going on, we were there. If we were having a revival, we were there every night. If we were having RAs, we were there every night. Whatever was going on at that church, we were there. She has two sons that preach the gospel. She has a husband who's a deacon in his church who gave his life to Christ. So, you know, I kind of feel like Paul in a little bit. I'm Baptist of the Baptist. He said, I'm Hebrew of the Hebrew. I'm Baptist of the Baptist, man. I know this thing backwards and forwards, frontwards and rear. I know it. I mean, I sat in there preaching after preaching and lesson after lesson, and I'm going to tell you something about the Baptists. They study the Word of God. From the time you're this big to the time you can hear and understand, you're hearing the Word of God in Sunday school. You're hearing the Word of God in class. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I grew up hearing the Word of God. And I enjoyed the Word of God. I didn't just know the stories. I could tell you the stories backwards and forwards. And I could tell you why they were there, what they meant. I mean, I went to Bible college thinking I probably could teach them a few things. Yeah? I mean, what are they going to teach me that I don't already know? I don't know, but God said go here. I'm going to go. So I said yes. Now, this was after a time of saying no. God said, I was sitting in a pew. I'll never forget it. I was probably 15. And there was a man standing up here, and he was preaching the Word of God, and he was an evangelist. He was in a Baptist church. Everybody was an evangelist in a Baptist church. They thought that's all there was, I think. But he was preaching the Word of God, and I said, man, that would be neat to do. I was sitting in the pew back there. I still know which area in that church I was in. And God said, that's what I want you to do. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. That was a setup. You planted that seed, and now you're trying to harvest it. I said, I'm slow, but I think you set me up. From that moment, I began to run. I said, okay, God, I know what I said, but I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it. I mean, I got my own idea, my own plans. I know what I want to do with my life, Lord. I mean, all these other people out here, they don't preach. They don't have to do all that stuff. I'm not one to stand up in front of people. I felt a little like Moses at that point. Well, you send somebody else. But in those next 3 years, I was the most miserable person on the face of the earth. I'd go lay down on my bed after having a great night. I didn't drink. I didn't do alcohol. I didn't do drugs. And I didn't hang around with most of the people who used to be my friends that did. I went to a party one time and I said, well, hey, if this is what it is, y'all can have it. Looks like fun to me, brother. How's that white porcelain throne? You know, you're throwing up every few seconds. Yep, nope, don't want that stuff. I still want to be in control. I mean, I want to be in control. I want to know what I did. Do you remember? No, I don't remember. Oh, yeah, you ran off in the ditch. And your daddy came down here and got you and beat the tar out of you all the way back home. I said, I don't want any of that. But in spite of that, I was miserable. Miserable. I'd come up every other Sunday and I would be crying. Preacher'd come. People are like, what's wrong with him? Man, he still ain't got it. He's slowing up, Dick, isn't he? Pastor knew what was going on. I came up one Sunday and I said, I'm ready to give up. I surrender. The Lord's got a call on my life for the ministry. I've been fighting him every step of the way. But I can't fight him no more. He said, I knew. But I couldn't tell you. I don't want to tell you what lit my heart on fire when I read the Word of God. I'd read about Enoch and it would say, and he walked with God and he was no more. A lot of people are enamored with the fact that he was no more. How can you get off the face of the earth? I was enamored with the fact that he walked with God. That was the portion of that scripture that captured me. It captured me. God was birthing something in me of a passion for a relationship with him that was beyond what I understood or what I knew. even though I was saved. Hear me out, guys. The church is missing something here, and I'm trying to relay it to you. And I read in the book of Daniel, and then it said, if they know their God, they will do mighty exploits. I wasn't so caught up with the exploits as I was. I wanted to know my God. The exploits would come. I understood results. And I read in David, he was a man after God's own heart. And I said, that's what I want to be. I want to be a man after your heart, God. I want to be like David. I want to be like Daniel and know you. I want to know you, God. So my pursuit to know him began. And I began to walk dirt roads going, okay, God, this is good. And I love it and I know it. But God, there's got to be more than what I'm seeing because I'm missing something. Because God, there's more here than I'm doing. I walked that nasty dirt road down in Florida at night when everybody else was asleep. And I'd just be giving God what for. Like, what is this about? I'm here. You tell me to come here. But God, there's some dead, lifeless people here. I don't want to be one. God, you've got life. You are life. Where is life of God that you speak to me? I know you do. But God, I know there's more. And I met that little lady sitting right over there. And her parents went to a non-denominational charismatic church in this area. I went to church with her and I saw worship I'd never seen before. I heard things and saw things I'd never seen before. And I said, God, if that's you, I want it. God, if that's you, I want it. I'm in. I signed up for everything. I signed up for all of it. I'm in. So I began to pray for a filling of the Spirit. And I remember when that happened in my living room with her. I remember when I began to speak in tongues, not knowing what in the world it was. It made no sense. It sounded like a baby gibberish. But I knew that when I did it, when I surrendered to allow the Holy Spirit to move in that way, that something bubbled up in the side that was bubbling out. And I finished my degree. We got married in the process a year later, or ever how long it was. And we went on to Bible college. And we got involved in a little non-denominational church. Because when she came down, we got married, we started looking for a church. That was in 1991. Some of the guys that I went to be with this weekend were two of the guys. One of them was a pastor. One of them was a young guy that I helped, discipled, and just was, we're brothers in the Lord. Dennis said this week, you were like James and John. You were the sons of thunder. If pastor said do it, we did it. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know. He'll tell you, he said, I didn't know you could tell authority no. For me, it was, if that's God, I'm gone. If that's God, I'm there. We would set up. He was an evangelistic heart, but he had a church way out in the middle of nowhere. He would set out there, and he'd think, we got to get to where the people are. I mean, this thing here is just an anchor around their neck. So we set up tents in the little city that we were in called Chipley, Florida. We'd have tent preachers come and set up their tent, and we would have a revival. We had one come, and I don't think we invited him, but we saw a tent, and we were like, hey, if somebody's doing something, let's go. So we went, and man, this guy, he was like anything, I mean, nothing like I had ever seen in my life. He was like John the Baptist. He was rough, and he was tough. I don't know, there was all grace and mercy, but God moved. I mean, God moved. Sometimes, you know, a lot of times in spite of us, God moves. This little Baptist boy was rolling around on the ground laughing his head off. Couldn't quit. It felt like 2 or 3 hours. I don't know how long it was, but it was a long time. Everybody else went home before we did. I had encounters with God in that place I didn't know everybody else wasn't experiencing the same thing, brother. I didn't know that God didn't pin everybody to the ground and hold them there and they couldn't move. I didn't know. No, we are very gracious now. We start praying for somebody and we catch them. Then we had concrete floor because the thing had flooded and people bounced off that concrete. I mean, we didn't know we were supposed to catch them. Nobody told us. They get up fine. Never had any accident reports. Saw one guy one time, he bammed his head off the pew and I thought, oh my gosh, that's going to hurt. He got up and he was fine. I was like, you think he's okay? He'll be fine. He'll be fine. It's like, okay, must be a miracle. We also had a homeless shelter. I'm telling you, this guy was evangelistic and had an outreach heart. We ended up having a storefront ministry in the town just to reach the town. And we had a homeless ministry. We had one guy come through. I'll never forget him. I know his name. He came through and he's like, I don't know what this is, but I don't want no part of it. But one Sunday he came up for prayer. He said, you don't pray for me, but I'm not going to fall down. That's fine. Whatever. When the pastor laid the hands on him, he ended up 20 feet back, flat of his back. He got up and I won't say what he said, but he said, what was that? And the pastor said, that was the Holy Spirit, and went right on praying for somebody else. I'm telling you, we saw things. I thought, God is right here. But I also saw hell. I saw the depravity of humanity and the worst of the worst, and heaven was right there. And there was a friction there. And there was a Holy Ghost power right there. That when that one came over and stepped across that line, boom. We joined up with a black pastor in the community. And there was a whole section of African American people in this street called Church Street. I call it Crack Alley. It was the drug capital of that little town. And there was a little park there. And we would bust some of these kids in. We'd go pick them up and bust them in. Brother, we didn't care. If you wanted Jesus, we were there. It didn't matter the color of your skin. It didn't matter what part of town you lived in. It didn't matter. We just wanted Jesus to be Jesus to whoever he wanted to be Jesus to. We bust them in. But we started having meetings out in that little... And at first, it's just the church, little 10 church people with us, right? We got pews set up for 50. We didn't know what to expect. And we start preaching the gospel. And we start proclaiming life over death. And we start talking about deliverance. And talking about how Jesus is. And talking about how good he is. And talking about coming out of the darkness. When the altar call was given, there were people out there in the dark started coming in to the light. Literally. People started walking up. And we started laying hands and praying on people. It was a move of God. That's in the era of Brownsville. That time I'd been to Brownsville. I'd been down there. I saw things in another group that we traveled to, a conference once a year. Man, I just saw God move powerfully and mightily. So, long story short, this pastor leaves and I begin to pastor along with a couple other pastors. I'm not the lead pastor. And a year or two into this, we've got an apostolic team coming in and they're working with us and they're walking with us. And they ask me, they say, who do you think God is trying to join you with? And I look one of them in the face and I say, you're the one that God has spoke to my heart about. He said, I want you to come to Ohio and I want you to walk with me. I think God's got something on your life and I want you to come. I went to Ohio. I was there for seven or eight years. A wonderful time. When we moved there, we didn't realize the warfare. We didn't realize the attack. We didn't realize what the enemy was trying to do in Florida and how strenuous it was on us. I can tell you story after story after story, sitting on my front porch and people coming This wasn't even their neighborhood, but they knew where I lived. And they knew somebody cared. And God moving. But I went to Ohio, and we were like, wow, these people love us. These people care for us. I mean, you know, we cared for them, but there was a reciprocal thing of honor. We never felt that like that before, because the other people we were interested in, they just lost, homeless, didn't know. I mean, they didn't know. These people knew how to honor, and they honored us and loved us. We were there for 8 years, and we felt God say, move. And we're like, well, we got a house, Lord. How are we going to sell a house? I mean, the market's dead. This house sat on about 4 or 5 years after we bought, or before when we bought it. It had been on the market a year. We had lived there for 4 or 5 years. And I said, well, God, he said, just put it up for sale. So we did. We put it up for sale. We went to a conference in Dayton. We felt Lord leading us to. On missions, and we went to a conference in Florida we felt God leading us to. And we're saying at this time, God, I don't know where you're going, where we're going, but we're going somewhere. I mean, you spoke to our heart. Both of us are in agreement here. God, you're doing something. You spoke. And in it all, I get nothing. Traveled to California with a guy that was showing me some ministry ideas out there, and we were into home church and seeing God move in a different way than just a building, and had a heart for small groups, and we said, yes, God, whatever you want. Well, we didn't get a yes to go, even though that's where I wanted to go, was in Florida. Even though I said I'd never go back to Florida, I didn't ever want to go to Florida again. I hated the sand. She loved the beach. I hated the sand. It got everywhere. It got in my car. It got in my shorts. I hated the sand. I didn't like it. So she won't go to the beach. I said, well, call Lisa, which was my other buddy. She said, y'all go to the beach. But long story short, we got ready to move. We ended up back here kind of by default. And I never thought I would come back here. When I left, I had no desire to leave the area. It was just where God took me. There was no like, well, I'm going to get out of this one horse town. I think we had one horse from a half and a half. But I never hated it, you know, like a lot of people do. I wasn't looking for an out. I was just looking to follow God, where he led me, to a little Baptist college, then on and on and on. And I looked at a guy one day that was in the ministry, and in a Baptist ministry, and I said, God, he's ministering a lot different than I am, and he's full-time, Lord. I'm not. Lord said, is that what you want? I said, no, God, I want you. Whatever that looks like, I want you. Whatever that looks like, I want you. Anyway, we came to Ohio. We left Ohio. We ended up here. And by default, we ended up here because we didn't know where else to go. But we weren't opposed to coming here. You know, we said, Lord, if there's nowhere else opens up, I guess we'll go there. Our house sold, by the way, in 30 days. It just boom. Nothing was selling. Made more money than we bought it for. It's just, you know. We're like, okay, God, where do you want us to go? We got to go somewhere now. So the church released us, blessed us. We left. We came here. We sat under Pastor Doc's ministry for about 2 years. And I had in my heart, I knew God was going to do something. And I knew God was going to open a door for me to be in ministry. That was what I believed God was going to do. I had words. God's going to give you a blueprint. I'm like, okay, whatever. I know what God's doing. 2 years, 3 years into it, I got mad at God. Because God did not do what he was supposed to do. I got mad. I was bitter. I was angry. I was hurt. I quit. I told God, I said, quit. I'm done. I'll just go do what everybody else does. Once again, I was the most miserable person on the face of the earth. Almost destroyed our marriage. Came to a place where we even separated for a time because I left because the fighting was so bad and I didn't want the kids involved in that. I never wanted my marriage to end the whole time. But I was, again, lost. I was moping around in my own bitterness. I wasn't lost as if I needed to be saved again. I just needed to repent. I probably went on for 2 years as well. Not the whole separation and all that. That was 2 or 3 months. But I come to a place one day and I said, God, what am I doing? And why am I here? This is not where I belong. I'm ready to make this thing right. My pastor in Ohio shows up. I didn't call him. She'd been calling him. He comes down. He says, been praying for you. He says, it's time you go home. I said, no. I'm ready. So we began to take some marriage counseling to repair our marriage. And that, boy, it was like this. One day it was terrible. The next day it was great. No, that's not the truth. It was horrendous. It was tough. My children were hurt. But we began to walk through that phase. I repented. And I learned something. That little boy that had a heart to know God above everything else was lost. Somewhere in the midst of wanting to be in ministry, he got lost. But the Lord found him again. And what I want you to take away from this tonight, Jesus said, follow me. And that's what it's all about. When you open this word, I want you to open it with no lenses and just say, Lord, I don't even know how to read it. I don't want to come to this scripture with a preconceived idea. I've been receiving revelations out of things that I thought I knew. One of them is the gospel. And the church is missing it. Because the reality is, you come to the Lord and you get saved. I'm going to share this nugget with you. And if you don't hear anything else tonight, hear this. When Jesus came to Peter and he was washing the disciples' feet, and he came to Peter and he said, I'm going to wash your feet. And Peter said, no, you can't wash my feet, Lord. He said, well, if I don't wash your feet, I don't have anything to do with you. He was saying, if I don't serve you, I don't have anything to do with you. Because I serve everyone that I have something to do with. Now, hear me out. I know I'm long. I'm closing. Jesus was saying, if he didn't serve Peter, he didn't have anything to do with him. Help me, Lord. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but I come to serve. He's still serving. He's at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and me. He's not interceding for him and not interceding for him. He's interceding for him and her and you and me. He's interceding for you. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you? Do you believe he called you to follow him? No matter what's going on in your life, when we say yes, it's a total surrender. It's a total abandon. It's a total saying, yes, Lord, I will let you serve me. I will let you serve me. And when we walk it out, the reality of it is those who come to the revelation and say, yes, Lord, today I want you to feed me out of this scripture. Lord, what passage do you have? I've been in the book of 2 Kings I've been in the book of Exodus with Moses meeting with God, and God showed me some things there I'd never seen before. It's one of my favorite passages just because God's declaring who He is. But God said, I wasn't just declaring who He is. I was doing an impartation into Moses so that he would carry the essence of who I am to my people. He is wanting to impart the essence of who He is by serving you the meal that will transform your life, so that others may see Jesus in you. I'll give you another one. You are the bridegroom of Christ. The Holy Spirit is here preparing the bride. Or you are the bride of Christ. He is the bridegroom. The Holy Spirit's here. He's preparing the bride. Think about the preparation of a bride. You got all these people getting her ready, right? All these things they're doing to make her presentable. The Holy Spirit is doing that in your life. And all she's doing is sitting there. Most of the transformation that happens in our life is sitting at the feet of Jesus. In our quiet time. In our times when we're walking down the street. In the times when we're doing what we're supposed to do. We're listening. And we're saying, Lord, serve me what you've got. Give me what you've got for today. Lord, there's somebody here that you want to touch. Give me what you got for somebody. Lord, I'm listening. So if we come to Him like a child and say, Daddy, I'm hungry. The song we sing tonight, Daddy, I'm hungry. As the music team comes forward, we're closing. I want you to think about the call to follow me. Have you answered it? Are you answering it? Are you right now saying, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you in this passage. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit touch whatever in my life that is not of you right now, God. You know, some of us are lost in our past. We've been hurt and we've been wounded. Listen, part of my demise was because I couldn't get over that I had been promised something that I wasn't given, and it wasn't just by God. I begin to blame others around me. This is, you know, this, if they'd have done this, then I wouldn't be here. The reality was God offended my mind and let me dive off the cliff to reveal my heart that says, God, I just want to know you. The greatest call is to know you. Some of you are battling with your past and God's saying, let me heal your wounds. I let me teach you how to put that thing to rest. Let me walk you out of that darkness. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. It isn't a lack of power. It's a lack sometimes of allowing Him to be Lord of that situation. To oversimplify, it's just basically, God, I can't handle this. I can't do it anymore. Please come. Please lead me to the light, because I've been lied to in the enemy, and I continue to believe His lies, God. I don't want to. Help me. When God understands where you're at, He's not asking you. Well, last thing I want you to hear tonight is strap your boots on and just do it. No. Fall on your face before the Lord, wherever you're at tonight, and say, God, I'm going to follow you differently. We as Christians like to strap our bootstraps on and say, okay, I'm a Christian. I just got to tough it out. No, you don't. You just got to walk with Him and follow Him and listen to what He says. He says, my sheep will know His voice. If you would stand with me now, as the music team plays, if you want some prayer, I want you to come forth. I want prayer teams to come forth. I just want us to be here and just serve you. We want to serve you, Jesus, tonight. Prayer team, I just want you to serve Him, Jesus. If you have a need tonight, you've been wrestling with something, you've been battling with something, I just want you to come forth and let Jesus touch you.
Team can do.